You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. And just wait for the Avs to be trailing for two periods, then take the money line and get paid. Avs win over the Seattle Kraken 4-3 in regulation with the comeback. Trailed 3-1 in the second period. Ultimately 3-2 at the end of it and then 4-3 in the end. So, are the Avs good? Yes?
Yeah, let's not... I'm worried people are going to start comparing this to the 13-14 Avs, who were really, really not very good, but had that weird third period magic.
Yeah.
This is a team that actually outplays opponents. Like, you look at the third period in this game. Like, you look at the first half of this game, the Avs played like shit, right?
Yes.
But they did what that really good team thing that sometimes you can do against bottom feeders.
Where you just turn it
up.
Where
you flip a switch. Where you kind of sleepwalk your way through a game, find yourself sitting there going, you know what, we're only down two to these assholes and we have a lot of game left. We can do this. And that's exactly what this looked like. Partway through the third or through the second period, it looked like they started to care a little bit more. They get a big time break with that second goal.
Yep.
Where Seattle get kind
it
of
into their
sort
own
of accident, like a bad break own goal there.
Yep.
And then
And then the third period comes, and the Avs just say that they're better than them.
They turned up the temperature of the game. The hitting picked up. The Avs leaned into it once again. The Avs took a team that wanted to bully them a little bit while they had the lead, and the Avs pushed back. Emotionally, physically, with the puck, whatever, like in all meaningful ways, the temperature of that game turned up, and so did the Avs. The Avs matched the moment, and then outplayed the Kraken. And then, you want to talk about the difference in goaltenders? You get a huge save or two from Frankie down the stretch, and Philip Grubauer watches one go over his shoulder.
We'll get there.
Ding Grubauer for tonight because. He has two kicked pucks go by him, and then Kadri with just a great shot. Yeah,
I felt like the Avs definitely, like those first two periods, they were playing down. That's right. We're a better team than them. Like,
right. We've won 11 home games in a row for a reason. Like we are a top tier NHL team. Because we can get away with something like this. Yep. And that's what this is. This is the same thing as Chicago. They got away with it. Now it's twice now that they've played poor teams and played down to their level and had 3-2 deficit the third period.
Yeah.
Twice in a week that they've had 3-2 deficits to bad teams. So you don't love that. You obviously love the fact that they got 2 points out of each of those games.
Right.
But you don't love that they're continuing now. I mean, they're down. They've trailed in all of their games.
Yep.
Since they got back,
even the 7-1 win.
They were down one nothing to Winnipeg before they were like, "All right, Globetrotter time."
You don't want to see that as a trend, but it's good for them to see it. You know what I mean? Like to experience that we're down. How do we get back into this game? And they've had a lot of practice recently on how to do that. So I mean, I think that's something that plays well and bodes well for the Avs. As they go further into the season and when you start getting into the playoffs.
Yeah. Contrasting it with last year's team, if the Avs were trailing in the third period, the game was over, basically, right?
Result ended up being.
Yeah.
But they really did not. they didn't accomplish it very much last year. Yeah. Like, it's what was frustrating was that there were a lot of games where they played well
and it just didn't work,
and they just didn't get the goal. And then they're finding those plays this year.
Yep,
they're finding those goals. They're it's not something that I think you can really explain. It's just you kind of just have it or you don't, right? It's sort of an it factor that's not repeatable. That's not. I guess I'm accidentally.
Is this clutch?
I was gonna say. I guess I'm accidentally dancing around the clutch conversation. But it's not. But I mean, on a team-wide basis, like,
you either have it or you don't.
It's just sort of there, right? Like, it just. You look at Vegas in previous years. Yeah. How many times were they down in third periods? Yep. And you were just like, these
came dragging it back.
Won't go away. Yeah. And this Avs team just sort of just won't go quietly into the good night against anybody.
Yep.
Yeah.
They make you earn it for sure, assuming they're relatively healthy for the game.
Yeah. So what was the last game that they lost?
The Nashville game.
What was the last real game that they lost?
Was it the Ottawa overtime, I think?
Okay. So their last couple of losses have been,
that was close to the beginning of December.
Comically compromised Nashville lineup. Ottawa overtime game, which was an insane game.
Yeah.
Toronto blowout in Dallas.
Yep. And then the Columbus 2.
Yep.
Yep. The Columbus 2 was the first week of November.
Yep.
What are we on, January 10th?
Georgia's going to win the National Cup.
We're going to have a new natty. Wow. That is fun.
They're going to
the pick six to close it. You love to see it. Alabama, Nighthawk mad because Alabama lost.
Well, I mean, you know what? When you're a fan of all the front runners,
true,
you've got to learn how to lose sometimes. I guess a lifelong of being a Blues fan has taught her that.
All right, let's go a little bit chronologically to this game. The Avs actually started out with a lead because Alex Newhook did fun stuff.
That was so dope.
Yeah.
And then I was freaking out about it.
Smart play.
And then, but it's a great play all the way around because Newhook creates it. LOC makes a good read to hit Knack as the third man in. And Knack finishes with a great shot. So when you're getting plays like that created on your third line, that's stuff that first lines are supposed to do, right? Like,
absolutely. But again, like, when you have depth and scoring like the Avs do, that's the thing that helps you win games when that top line isn't producing. That's the difference that you see between the Avalanche and the Oilers.
True.
Because you have two guys.
This year's Bruins.
Huh?
This year's Bruins.
Yeah. Another good example. Like, if the top line's not getting it done, the team's not winning. This Avs team has depth.
It's not exactly revelatory, right? To be like,
no, it's
not. your best players didn't produce, therefore you lost the game. But it's also like there are nights, and it's especially true in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
But there are nights you just have to get a 2-goal night out of an Abe Kubel.
Yeah,
you've got to get something out of your bottom six, right? You've got to get anything out of them, and you get a couple of goals from those guys. And you're just like, okay, no, we're halfway home. You got the two. It's a 3-goal lead or a 3-goal league. You need to get to 4 to win this one because they got to 3 in a blink of an eye. Like, okay, they're at 3. Now where are you going to get the other ones from? Yep. And look where you got it. We talk about how their defense, Colorado's defense, is so good offensively that it functions as a second line. Like, it's really scoring between Taves and McCarr. It's scoring his first line.
Yeah.
Because they're both over a point per game.
Yep.
But really, it functions as another high production forward line.
Yep.
They get one there. Your first line doesn't give you anything. It doesn't even look very good most of that. No. Nathan MacKinnon
was trying hard.
Yeah.
Swimming upstream against his line mates who all look like shit.
Yeah.
And then you get. Kadri makes the big play there, and that gets you across the finish line.
And you win the game.
You need nights like that. I mean, we watched the last two games. You look at the first. You look at what were the numbers for the first line? They were insane. they had 7 goals and a billion points, right? Like, they could have almost statistically won both of those games
by themselves.
Yeah. Didn't need any help right there. They basically won the Winnipeg game. Yeah. It was basically the top line beat the Jets. And you get those games too, But then when you get a game where they don't do a whole lot.
Yeah.
And you still find a way. Yep. And that's the thing, you know, that's going to separate you.
For sure. And I think it definitely stands out, especially against a team like Seattle, where, you know, realistically, you're looking up and down that lineup and you should be thinking your biggest advantage is your top line, right? The high-end talent is what Seattle lacks. But Avs didn't get it from the high end. They just outplayed them with really their middle six, I would say, was the difference in this hockey game. But, yeah, going.
I'd be curious. I'll check them here in a minute when we transition into the second period. But I do feel like MacKinnon drove a lot of play. But they also spent a lot of time defending again. So I'm curious where those numbers ended up. But, man, I tell you, that was a bad night for Mikko.
First of all, yes, Mikko played awful tonight. Not going to try to go anywhere else around that one. But you could see with MacKinnon, I think he either recognized it or just decided to. A lot of people been tweeting for weeks and months that they're tired of seeing Nathan MacKinnon pull up. When Nathan MacKinnon doesn't pull up, this is what it looks like. A lot of plays tonight, he tried to go through a bunch of defenders. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. And you kind of just have to live with the results of that if that's what you're asking for. Maybe MacKinnon deserved better. Maybe he deserved a goal tonight. But ultimately, this is a textbook game. If you want to see what MacKinnon not pulling up looks like, this game was it. All right.
Just a real quick about the comment that was just on the screen. The Avs power play is 7th in the league.
Yeah.
And it's coming off a game where it had like
it had
4 attempts and I think 15 shots on goal where it was unbelievably dangerous. I understand that no fan base has ever liked their own team's power play before, but a power play is not. It even got better tonight.
Yep.
It started off totally
the
brutally
first one
bad.
Was a disaster.
and then by the end of it, that last one was good. Kadri just their best scoring chance. Kadri dusted the puck off and waited for Grubauer to get over, and Grubauer still made a great save on that play.
That's
so,
where Mikko needs to be on that because he's
we were all like we were watching it like, oh, that's Kadri. Okay, that makes sense why that happened. But the PK is definitely problematic.
Well,
no doubt about that.
And the power play, there's a few tweaks that they could do to just, like, fix it. That bumper play that they try to do, we were talking about it.
Yeah.
When a guy's standing next to you and you pass it to him as
they're about
bumper.
As far apart as we are right now. Yeah. And it's like the goalie doesn't – all he has to do is go.
He just moves
and the
slightly.
Fact that nobody on the – nobody watching this knows what I just did is the point.
That's the idea.
He doesn't have to move to react to that pass.
Yeah.
He's in the same exact position. He doesn't have to read anything.
Yep.
They need more separation there.
Right, so. And even a little bit more depth from the outside player going down lower to the bottom of the circles to just pull people away because even from a defensive standpoint, like the people defending the play are on top of the guys. They're putting sticks in lanes. Like it's hard to get a shot off.
Yeah.
How do we feel about the PK genuinely tonight? Because it was significantly different. They went back to a much more bland style.
One full attempt and then one that got cut short.
Yeah.
Right? They Bednar said before the game, major structural changes were coming.
Yeah.
And there were. Yeah. You look at how the PK played tonight, and the PK tonight was as basic as a PK will ever be. It was a completely passive box. No, there was no real reading of anything. It was just you take this area. It was like watching a zone defense in basketball.
Yeah. Yep.
You take this spot. You take this spot. You take this spot. And really, they got through the first one mostly fine. It wasn't really. It wasn't great. They weren't. They didn't control the puck and
but
clear
you
it.
Giving up breakaways.
But they
on
weren't.
Your penalty.
Well, and there was no Royal Road. There was none of that. And like. We were talking about it when that power play goal got scored. We were all kind of looking at it like, I think they just made a nice play there. Like anytime you have a guy standing completely alone in front of your net, there was a breakdown somewhere.
Yeah.
But you're also looking at it and you're kind of like, all right, well, this guy's kind of he's sort of matched up. They were all sort of matched in places, And it just looks like they took the number advantage, and the advantage came out to guy alone in front, which is bad. But they also made a nice play there.
Sometimes the solution to that problem is don't take a penalty, right? Like,
yeah, I just didn't think that it was like, oh my God, this is so brutally bad. I thought the second PK attempt that ended early with like 30-ish seconds to go, I thought it was worse because they had chances to clear zones and didn't.
Yep.
The big problem continues. My biggest problem with it continues to be they give free entries. Where their own power play struggles the most is getting set up to begin with.
Yeah.
And then they don't do the same thing to other teams. They're so passive at the blue line. They don't run into guys. They don't try and funnel puck carriers into traffic. They just sort of let teams do what they want. And then they all just kind of just back off the blue line and go, okay, well, now you're set up. What can we do? And I think that needs to be the number one thing that they need to, that I want to see changes to. I'm glad that they're going to change the structure. I imagine it's not going to be the most basic of systems by the time they get done with it. But I do think that it's not the worst idea for them to just burn it all down.
Start fresh
with something that they're all familiar with so that they can kind of work their way through it. They're really the one thing we haven't talked about much because it hasn't been a factor. They're still winning games. They've had health issues. They are practicing very, very little.
Yep.
So they are not running, with a change.
They're not
like
drilling
they're
everything
doing.
Over and over.
Like with the change that they're doing to PK, that's something that's going to require practice time. I imagine most of their practice time will be dedicated to special teams. Morning skate tomorrow, if they do one. I don't think that they will. Just guessing here.
I imagine
not,
yeah.
I don't think that they will practice on Wednesday after the back-to-back and then travel.
And then Thursday will be the one day where
they spend all 50 minutes really, they'll do the 10 minutes of getting the blood flowing and warming up. And then, I think Thursday and then Friday morning skate, you'll see lots of special teams work as they actually try to ramp up some wrinkles to a PK.
Yep.
Because there's no way they're just going to play that level of basic, because we were all curious what it looked like, and it was a burn it down, do the most basic thing possible.
Yep.
But that's what you do, right? And then you just start adding elements. You can start adding up high where you have guys switching things to that. You just start adding some wrinkles here.
You start adding things for guys to read.
Some different looks.
And make it so that guys actually have an opportunity to make a play instead of just standing there and going, well, if a puck hits you, go do something. Because that's kind of what that system was tonight.
Yeah.
So I the result is obviously frustrating, but if it wasn't for that result, I think we would probably be saying,
at least they're trying to do something about it,
right? And this was our big thing, is like, you can't continue to run a system that not only is not working, but is producing the kind of
actively hurting you every night.
The kind of results that could undo a playoff run.
All right, chat, a very generous member of DNVR has given away a $50 gift card. So we're giving it away on the show. Can you get into the chat and type the word comeback for me? Enter it in there and we'll pick one of you very soon to be a winner. So get in there, type comeback, go on it. And be sure to check out Green Mountain Dental Group, because we are brought to you by them just 15 minutes from downtown Denver. You can get over there, get a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. Get a free Sonicare toothbrush. More stuff that we're giving away. So, good stuff left and right here on DNVR. They'll take care of you. They do a great job over there. Everyone in Switch says that they do a super good job cleaning teeth, taking care of teeth, that whole nine yards. And then, when you've had some dental work and you need to get high and not feel your teeth, Lightshade is the place to go to get your needs. Right now, you can get an ounce and get a quad free, 25% off whatever you buy at Lightshade with code DNVR. So be sure to jump over there. Use the code, get yourself a bunch of money off on that stuff. Also, check out a bunch of different products there. Escape Artist CBD oils and balms and ointments. What's the one, the topical ointment? Is that the correct one?
That is correct.
You would know better than I would, Blaze. Yes. I don't know. So they have a bunch of different types, ranging from like the light stuff, 1-to-1, all the way up to 20-to-1.
No kidding.
AJ's losing his mind over here.
Okay.
Anyway, hit up Lightshade, get your THC and CBD needs, get the 25% off with code DNVR. All right, Yahir, spin the wheel. Who's going to win a $50 gift card to the DNVR? Manny Pelliser? I don't know if I said your last name correctly, but you have won yourself a $50 gift card to the DNVR locker. Congratulations. You can hit me up either on Discord or DM me on Twitter, and I will get you all hooked up with your gift card. You'll be all good. Congratulations. Go ahead, AJ.
Who played more in even strength tonight? Darren Helm or Curtis McDermott?
Oh, God.
Honestly, there's only one reason I would be asking.
Are either
this
of them over 5 minutes?
No.
Okay.
Curtis McDermott, 325 at even strength. Darren Helm, 249.
Wow.
So it's not just us sitting here like going, Darren Helm might be a problem.
Bednar might be done with that whole adventure.
I want to check NHL.com and make sure that this is not just...
Just hasn't updated or
a
something.
A natural stat trick thing.
Okay. Great.
Nope. Darren Helm played 335.
335 total. So he didn't even play a full minute of PK time either then.
Jost played 927. So the fact that Jost played...
That much
more than
them.
What the other two combined. not that 927 is abundance of ice time.
The Avs essentially ran 10 forwards tonight, is what you're telling me.
It's pretty much, man. That's and look, this is not a situation where they don't have help.
Right.
And they have to do this. You've got two guys that you just named, specifically those two guys, who won. You should really be trying to figure out what the hell you have.
Yep.
And two, can absolutely fail at the same level that those guys already are. Yep. But three,
maybe
could they be better?
Minutes?
Well, and they
could they
be better?
Yeah.
If you want to get crazy with it, you could try Sakura. You could try Bowers. They got options.
Bowers has played really, really, really well since he came back from injury.
That's what I'm saying.
Makes you, you want to, at some point, like, Curtis McDermott playing 3.5 minutes every single night, or do you want to give Shane Bowers 9 minutes and see? You've never given him a look. You're still only at the 32-game mark. You've got time. This is not like you're in the last 20 games and you're like, oh, we're tightening the screws for our playoff run. This isn't the time, AJ.
Dude,
this is exactly the time.
I don't care if you're tightening the screws for a playoff run. You can play Shane Bowers for 3 minutes in the middle of an important game. Like, you can play any AHLer that amount of time, and it won't look any different than it did with Darren Helm. Like,
well, and this is, I think they made it clear that they were done with Megna.
Yeah.
Because they had no reason to send him down when they did. They sent him down because they were like, this is done. We've gotten nowhere. Yeah. We've tried.
Well, and certainly would you see the aggression, at very least with them calling Maltsev up to the taxi squad for road trips over Magna.
Well, they're also calling up, like, Cal Burke. And,
A bunch of random dudes.
Yeah,
but.
Like, they've had their rotation of taxi, and we haven't talked about the taxi squad basically at all.
The Avs are only really using it for road trips anyway.
It has been a total no-impact situation so far.
Yep,
fingers
crossed.
Which
was funny because we were advocating so hard for one.
And the Avs haven't had to use it since.
We advocated it for the exact situation that played out in Nashville. Yep. And then since they got back, it's been like, this hasn't been a problem.
Non-issue. But yeah.
Give it a little while.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean.
Ask again tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
But
they already have one guy in COVID protocol.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And it's the captain who isn't just like. One guy, he's talking with everybody on that team.
Yeah, it's true.
So I want to circle it back into the game because, AJ, I think you brought up a good point when we were watching it. Because the first and second period were pretty different. In the first period, the big issue the Avs were running into was they were trying to make the extra pass. They're trying to do the fancy dangle three guys.
Yeah.
Doing a little bit too much a lot of the time.
Yeah, and it's funny because when it doesn't work, it's easy to be like, God, why are they doing this? And then you go back and you look at the last week, and you look at the Winnipeg game, and you're like, look at all the fancy shit that led to highlight real
goals. This is what it looks like when it works.
Right. Like you're just like, oh, my God, these guys are so good. Oh, my God. And we're talking about how dope they are and how sick this was and how sick that was. And then when it doesn't work, you know, you need to move off of it. And they did. Like, to their credit, it wasn't like they just kept running into the wall. Now, it took a while, but it tends to take a while.
Well, so here's why I don't have as much of a problem with the first period. And yes, you don't love the cute stuff when it's not working. But you look at that and you compare it to the second period where, as you said, AJ, while we were watching it, you're like, the Avs can't even make a basic pass right now.
Yeah, I mean, we watched Nathan MacKinnon ice a puck on a power play where it looked like it was a miscommunication where Kadri just stops, right?
Yep. Yeah.
We watched Cale Makar miss
all night,
multiple,
couldn't make a pass.
Yeah. Multiple basic passes. This wasn't like four checkers around him. This wasn't like a thing that Seattle was causing. Our frustrations were they are just missing open opportunities here. They're just boofing pucks here.
Mikko soft backhands all over the ice tonight.
Mikko soft all over the all over the ice, man.
He had a great back check that he probably saved.
Yeah, that was his one real decent play of the night.
Well, and that's the stuff that for me it drives me crazy because I'm like, it's in there, man. You gave a full shit for one part of a shift, and look what happened. You made a difference.
Yep.
Where is it all game long? But I said I wasn't going to go hard on him because he had a four assist night and I would take a few days off. So I'm moving away. But you do see like they were just trying to be a little too cute with it. They were.
Yeah.
It's like watching a show on Netflix. Like any service, not like the service matters. It's like watching a streaming movie and the audio is half a second off. You're just like, this desync is really annoying. It's honestly fine. It's not killing you, but it's really annoying. And so they got into
that's a great way of putting it.
They got into the second intermission, pushed F5, and they were fine.
Every time it's on a scene where there's no mouths, it's fine. And then it cuts back to someone's mouth, and you're like, this is awful.
Yeah.
I can't do this.
Yes.
All right. The other person I wanted to talk about specifically is Nazem Kadri and how razor thin the margins are between having a terrible night and being the hero.
Yeah.
Because he really was not playing well for the first 2.5 periods of this hockey
12
game.
Minutes to play, 10 minutes to play in the third period, and we're all sitting here like, God, Kadri's been shit.
Yeah. He did both tonight.
4 minutes to play, 4 minutes to play in the third period, and you're like, guy's the hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a couple sides to this. First of all, Kadri played to himself tonight. I don't think he was particularly trying to do anything he doesn't normally do. It's just that it wasn't working for two periods. Like, it's Kadri. When he has the puck, he's going to try to walk a dude and get shots off. And it just wasn't working. But the other side of that, and shout out to the altitude crew showing this at the end of the game. He had a read on Philip Grubauer tonight.
Yeah. They showed four consecutive clips of him trying the same thing, with the last one being the goal that he scored.
Yeah. So he knew something he wanted to do on Grubauer and obviously threw the all-world shot in at the end. So take it where you can get it on that one.
I like Sam Girard tonight.
Yeah, you could tell he was feeling it a little bit tonight. The spins were back.
He was
doing his thing.
He overskated one puck.
Yep.
But otherwise, I really, really liked his puck
on
moving.
The
in the offensive zone, I really liked it.
Yeah, I mean, he was silent. There wasn't anything that really stood out, but he did his job, right?
Yeah.
He did have a few spin moves where you're like, oh, that's...
Yeah.
You like to see that from him. He's
what
feeling
up, G?
It, but... Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, on a night where the list of things that players messed
absolutely.
Up, one overskating the puck is pretty low on the list when you have guys just totally biffing it all over the place. So
I was right about the top line, by the way, getting good fancy stats.
Yeah, they always do.
Rantanen and MacKinnon, because they obviously
right they half Berkey half new
they moved some guys around there, but yeah, they MacKinnon and Rantanen
did okay.
Yeah,
figures.
Did their thing. Makar, Makar and Taves also.
You want to talk about a defenseman that wasn't playing well tonight? Bo Byram.
Yeah.
He had an off night tonight.
So he's had a couple quiet games since they came back from the break. Obviously, he had that 2-point night against the Jets.
Yep.
and both points came when the game was super over. Yeah. So, like, they all count, right? And those were dope. They, like, I thought he played really well in that game, but didn't, kind of thing. But it was really it's been offensively he has not played with the same kind of confidence.
Yeah.
And the execution just looks like it's lacking quite a bit. I mean, there were some decisions
too. Like,
well, so here's why I actually
end of the second period shot. Yeah.
I don't mind this because if this is Byram's floor, you're fine.
Sure. Yeah.
He still made some quality defensive plays on the night, but the puck movement has to be better. He was just making bad decisions.
Yeah,
when
you see the flashes that he's had and the games that he's played where he's engaged, he's making the right reads, he's doing all the things right, you're like, you want that consistency out of him now, right? Yeah. Like every game. You don't want to see these like...
No, this is very much
the reverting back
all over again.
Yeah.
Where you're like, you see the really high-end flashes and you're just like, God, I can't wait till we get to when that's... Maybe not every night, but
regularly consistent. Yeah,
two of every four nights, you know, and then the other two nights are not really low level. Like Makar tonight, probably
his worst game in a while.
Right, like probably about as low a level as we really see from a healthy Cale Makar, and finishes with a point.
Yep,
ends up helping make a difference in the game.
Yep,
and is all like is
lay
all,
some licks on some guys too,
all over the place. Yeah. Like he. I didn't like his passing was way off tonight. Didn't look good, but he was aggressive in shooting. He was jumping into play like he normally like. It just wasn't going for him in the same way that when it looks like the world is easy for him.
Yeah,
you know, it all just sort of breaks his way. But you get to see his floor is now so high that he has a game like that where you're like, I don't think he played that great, but he hits the post, assists on the game tying goal. And plays very solid, respectable defense as they close out the game, and was bringing the physical element at times. Like there was at least one big hit tonight from him.
Yep,
and he's been doing that more. I think he's starting he's probably feeling a little bit better. Just like the injuries are starting to heal up. Time has kind of taken over.
It was three or four games ago, right, where he rolled in and it was like. It's time to test the shoulder. I'm going to hit some people tonight.
And that part of his game, like a lot of people don't talk about it, but like you've seen it, and it's not just been at the NHL level. It's all levels that he's played. He's a physical player.
I mean, his draft night, one of the funniest parts of his draft night was Dmitry Filipovich tweeting out that the biggest loser of draft night on the first round of 2017 was the poor kid who they kept showing on replays of Makar's AJHL highlights of him because Makar killed
just
that poor
drops
kid.
This kid.
Like behind the net, just smokes this kid. And he's like, the biggest loser of the night is that guy who everybody like not watching the AJHL and then he gets put on
national
TV. Never
known about it.
On like the same highlight reel that they show like 14 times throughout the first round that night. And that's an aspect of his game that has always been there. It's one reason why when you see people be like, the Avs defense is too small because they've got guys under 6 foot. And it's like Cale Makar is 5'11 and occasionally drops a C4 charge in the middle of a guy's chest. And you're worried about how soft they are. It's like your problem is Sam Girard, okay? Not reality. It's Sam Girard. Especially when you look at the rest of the defense. Like Byram. Byram soft and small? What? Like Devon Taves? What? Eric Johnson and Jack Johnson? Okay. Like it's just not reality anymore. Yeah. So it's what I like with Makar is that he's figuring out that in a game where he isn't necessarily dominating with the puck, he's finding, hey, I can still blow a fool up.
Yeah.
And I can still
find different ways to impact the game. I can still be effective
by doing this and having this part of my game maybe be a little bit bigger of a role than it would be on a night where I've got 4 points.
Sure.
So, and that's where he's figuring out his all-around game. He's got the ability to impact it a lot more defensively than I think maybe he was comfortable with, certainly his rookie year. He's a much more polished defender now.
Yes. All right. I do want to talk about the third period in depth as well, but before we get there, we are brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee, the CBD-infused coffee. You can have it for your mornings. They got your K-cups, your actual coffee beans, however you like it. Works as essentially like your painkiller and your coffee in one. So jump on it, get 25% off. Use code DNVR25 for your first purchase of them. You can also get it cold brew down at the bar if you want to come down and try it. Highly recommend you check them out here at the bar, where you can also get 8 different kinds of Breckenridge Brewery on tap, the official beer of DNVR. You can also get it at your local liquor store. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to find it near you. Choose your favorite. They have a ridiculous number of flavors and types of beer. So find one, get it. You can get their Good Company hard seltzers too. Drink, enjoy the time. It's all good stuff. Come down to the bar. Come hang out, even if you're not a Breck Brew drinker. It's always a good time for an Avs game down here. Place has been vibing pretty good for the comebacks, in true hockey fan fashion, it's major clinch time for the majority of the game, but then you get to pop off at the end when the Avs figure it out.
Didn't really feel much of the clinch in this one.
Thought that they were going to lose.
Exactly. I came in with the idea that this was a trap game, and then when it got to 3-1, and especially the way that it did with Colorado not playing well and also being a little unlucky. Unlucky. Like, those are the first and third goals are really good deflections, and the second goal is Frankie just.
That's just a terrible goal. Yeah.
So maybe unlucky isn't the right word. Just maybe Seattle getting the bounce is what I'm not calling. Luck is like a frame of reference.
Yeah.
So like it doesn't exist in neutral ground, right? If you're lucky, that means your opposition is unlucky, but. I thought that Seattle was getting bounces that they earned with good play.
I would agree.
And then their second goal was just a free one that a bad team needs to get across the finish line. They just couldn't get across the finish line.
Because they're bad.
And exactly. Like, they're bad. And Philip Grubauer, like, I felt bad for him in this one because he's making big saves in the third period, flashing the pads and getting across and doing what he can. He gives up 4 goals. And it's just like, this is like the guy's having like a cursed year.
Yep.
There's been plenty of Grubauer not playing well this year. I didn't think that Grubauer was bad tonight at all.
Which goal do you put on him?
Like the first goal, I honestly don't even remember
the knack snipe.
Oh, yeah. That's a great finish. And he's got traffic in front of him. He's got bodies in front of him while he's trying to get across. So he can't. Because of where the bodies were, he's a little deeper in his net than he may otherwise have liked to have been. Because if he's a little further out and more aggressive in the crease, he may cut down that angle a little better and maybe has a better shot to get
to
it.
Less to shoot at, yeah.
But because of the traffic, he's a little deep in his net, has a hard time picking it up, gets beat. Okay, just got beat there.
The second goal
was kicked in by his own teammate.
Nothing you can do.
A save that he makes.
Yeah.
And he kicks it out, and his teammate kicks it back in. And then the third goal.
Maybe you're asking for a little bit better rebound control the third one. But,
maybe.
But even that, he makes the initial save.
Right.
Like, Devontae's has no one within 20 feet of him.
has to deflect it in with his foot. Which, by the way, not a kick in any way. It's not a kick. The way that the rule is written, you're allowed to deflect them in off your feet. You just can't kick them. Yep. With Devontae's is a clear deflection, not a kick. To me, that was the easiest distinction in the world. So
and that's why the replay on it was so fast.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know that they were looking at it because we were arguing about it, and then we looked up and they were like, "It's a good goal," and I was like, "Yeah, obviously." So you're talking that like, what do you want from Grubauer? It takes a kicked puck to get through him. You know, he makes several big saves.
You just said it wasn't a kicked puck.
Just gets okay.
Just kidding.
Goes the fourth goal. The fourth goal is just Kadri with a great shot. Yeah. Like, what do you want from Grubby here tonight?
A great shot that he'd been trying all night.
And yeah,
right. He finally got one.
Right. So I'm just for me, like I genuinely just kind of felt bad for Grubby on this one. He was atrocious in their first game and deserved the pull that he got. Those were just free.
Yeah.
Tonight, I thought he played a lot better.
I don't feel bad for him. He went and got his bag. He knew what he was in for.
You know, this is one thing that drives me crazy about humanity. A guy gets paid and suddenly he's not allowed to have sympathy. You're not allowed to feel bad anymore.
That's right.
Well, he's rich now.
Look, you don't have to have any sympathy for me if I ever get rich, chat. I'll tell you that right here.
Sometimes we have conversations with each other and don't read the chat the entire time. So if you feel like we're avoiding the Evander Kane conversation,
we're going to talk about it on Wednesday.
Because
chill, okay?
We have a Wednesday show to do this week, and that will still be a conversation.
Chill.
Yeah.
So the Avs get the two big goals. They come back and win for the fourth time, technically, in this calendar year. They're undefeated in 2022 still. It's now five straight. It's 12 straight at home.
It was a dumb thing to say when they were two games in. And now five games in, it's like, this is pretty cool. Look, really tough task tomorrow, though.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is about as scheduled a loss as it gets. Because if I'm correct, Nashville did not play tonight.
Correct.
They're just sitting at home watching the Avs have to grind out a win against the Kraken. Not the easiest game. The Avs did not make it the easiest game for themselves. Ended up having to expend quite a bit of energy to beat a bad team. And now they have to go in tomorrow. And this is why you have Kemper. This is why Frankie starts tonight.
Yep.
Kemper gets tomorrow because you're saying, hey, we're going to need to lean on that.
Yeah. Kemper's going to have to ball out.
I don't know. I just think
Frankie was dope tonight. Saves a second goal.
The Avs can't stop, won't stop. They're going to Avs for life and just win tomorrow.
Just win?
Yeah. I mean, look, if they do. Then they have Arizona twice this week.
They
Arizona,
get 2 days off.
P.S. Arizona has COVID problems right now.
They're going to lose one of those games.
If those
games happen.
If those games go on as scheduled and Arizona's COVID problems continue, who do they ice? They're already icing an AHL team.
There's some local players on there.
Is the NHL going to pull an NFL and just make a team that has no relevance to the playoffs play games that they're just screwed in? I don't know.
I guess the team that does have playoff
votes. Right, true. We'll see. P.S. Keep your eyes peeled for those games. I will be doing a watch along no matter what.
Well, we will be, yeah,
but we're hoping to do some pretty cool stuff for that watch along with
Are we not allowed to talk about
I just don't know how official it is yet.
Oh, okay, all right. Well,
hopefully you'll see a little bit of crossover content going on for the watch along so excited for that this week. Other than that, I guess we have a bunch of super chats.
Yeah, let's hit them.
Tommy, $5. Thank you very much. Please say we aren't in on Evander Kane. Yep, Wednesday. Thank you for the money.
See you on Wednesday, Tommy.
Carrie with 14 Canadian. Thank you very much. These teams is Call the Attack Kids. Like the Heart Attack Kids? The Cardiac Kids? Was that their old nickname? Too bad that Mac didn't extend his point streak. It would be nice if they could play a full 60 minutes. I'm sure glad we beat Groovy. Nas is the man.
It would be nice if we could play a full 60 minutes is a weird criticism because the only you hear it every night. Somebody says that shit. And the only time you don't hear it is when they blow somebody out. And you're just like, okay, well, even the Jets game, they didn't play a full 60 minutes. They were down 1-0 in that game. Like, they didn't particularly play great in the first period of it.
Yeah.
And then they blew them out.
I mean, we talked a little bit about this, too, on the pregame show, right? It's like getting up for this game. So,
but
not
also
playing a full 60 minutes is also it's really hard to get that energy every night when you have a schedule like this, knowing that you have a back-to-back that you're playing in, right? Like,
and you have two big like, the Toronto game is a huge, like, the big comeback, whatever. It ended up being a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And then you have the Nashville game, which is the team right now leading the division. So right now they're the team in your crosshairs.
Yeah.
Like everybody gets Colorado gets everybody's best shot, right? But that's the team in Colorado's crosshairs is the one that they're chasing actively. Yeah. Now they've got a billion games in hand on them. And so you're like, chances are they'll probably pass them with relative ease.
Yeah.
Given them making up the scheduled games. But the full 60 minutes is one of those like fan criticisms that drives me crazy because there are two NHL teams out there and it seems like they don't play a full 60 is applied in a game in which the other team also has part
not
of the game
played a full 60
where they play well. But the other team also never plays a full 60 because the Avs also did good things there. Like it's just a It's just one of those like weird things that's just pet peeve of mine.
And technically, every team in every game that has been completed has played a full 60 minutes.
Yeah.
So, all right, next.
I did like that they beat Grubauer, though. Like,
yes.
You always have like that revenge of the, you know, that guy wants
player type.
That guy
thing,
that guy feels snubbed. He didn't get the bag from that team. He almost won the Vezina. He, you know, performed well for them up until the very, very, very end. He had been pretty good for the Avs in the postseason.
Yeah.
And then they didn't want to pay him, and he was just kind of, you know, jilted players are highly motivated.
Yeah.
And for them to go 2-0 on him is kind of like...
feels pretty good, man.
Deuce's dog.
Jonas Donskoj did not score a goal tonight either. Yep. So
I actually thought he played pretty well. I thought he was all over the place, and I was like, I'm just sitting there like... Please switch teams.
Maybe. Put an Avs jersey back on when nobody's looking.
Seriously, because it looks like we have a whole trade deadline thing that we can do.
In a few months where you can do this for days.
Jonas Donskoj.
Yeah. Tommy with five more. Thank you very much. We passed up too many one-time and omen shots to make one too many passes. Got to lighten it up and just shoot sometimes. Certainly in the first period, the Avs just decided that shooting was overrated. Sometimes it's too cute. Sometimes you got to make the simple play.
Like, while true early, they finished with 35 shots on goal.
They put it together. Yeah.
So let's not pretend like this was a thing that continued. They definitely simplified and amped it up as the game went on.
Yep. All right. Five more from Tommy, giving us all the money. Extremely generous. AJ, what division does our trade deadline play in?
I'm assuming trade deadline acquisition.
Yeah.
I don't.
One in the NHL, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, you're talking about that Luke Shen plays for Vancouver, so.
Oh, yeah, if you missed it.
I've still got people DMing me about it, and I'm like, I tweeted about it, and we talked about it on the show. If you don't know who it is by now, that's on you.
There you go. All right, more from Carrie. Thank you. Seven more Canadian fun money. Grubby sure picked the wrong team, but I knew he wanted to change the money. But today, NHL isn't all about money. It's about winning games and winning. I mean, the NHL has always been about winning, really.
I mean, it's always been about money, too.
Sure.
But there's also a little bit of legacy there, going to a brand new team that is just starting out. Obviously, you don't want the start that they've had this year.
Look at what it did for Fleury.
Yeah.
Because Fleury was on the outs in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He revitalized his career there and became a Hall of Famer there.
Yeah.
Because when he left Pittsburgh, there was not this talk that he was some slam dunk Hall of Fame goaltender. It was he got replaced by Matt Murray.
Yeah.
Like do we remember why Marc-Andre Fleury got exposed in that expansion draft? Like why that was the case? Because Matt Murray had taken his job.
Yep.
So there's a big-time legacy play there. And it's just going the complete opposite direction for Philip Grubauer.
Yeah.
Where they went out, he was their big
acquisition,
free agent acquisition that they went and got. Overshadowed Jaden Schwartz. He was the big, like, went and signed him from the President's Trophy winners. And, Vezina finalist and... We built this great defense. He'll be right at home behind a great defense that he's been behind his entire career between Washington and Colorado. Oh, this is going to be great. Worst goaltender in the NHL.
It's funny how those things spiral out, too, because Matt Murray didn't work out too great either.
Yeah, the only reason Grubauer's been the worst goaltender in the NHL is because Ottawa sent Matt Murray to the AHL.
All right. $5 from Jake. Thank you very much. Got to love the effort tonight. Great to see Frankie look comfortable between the posts. Love y'all. Yeah, certainly the third period especially, you felt like, all right, this is a good hockey team. It's good. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You like how it ended, right?
Yep.
Like you,
I mean, regardless of,
you
of
get, you
the
get
actual
the two,
comeback.
You get the 2 points and you feel like, okay, but.
That's your backup goaltender in there.
Yeah, you
got the 2 points. I mean, I know it's Seattle and everyone. The difference between a bad team and a good team is it's pretty small in the NHL. Like, they still win games.
Yep.
And they win against big names, too.
I mean, look at Vancouver. Vancouver was left for dead, and they just went on, like, an 8-game winning streak or something crazy, you know? Like, new coach, right?
Yeah.
Get the bump, baby!
And really, like... I know, obviously, this wouldn't happen, but Seattle should fire Dave Haxtell.
Yeah.
He's horrible.
I don't disagree with that.
I mean, it's not even a revelation. He was horrible in Philly. Yeah. They're off to a horrible start here. He doesn't know how to utilize any of his players. He doesn't have any trust in them whatsoever. He's basically just like, oh, well, what can I do? He sucks. He's Tony Granato. Like, he needs to go back to college where he found success because he can't coach in the NHL. He's a bad NHL head coach.
And one last super chat from Joey here, $5 with the woohoo.
Well said. Well said.
Three of Abe Kubel's four goals this season are against Grubauer. There you go.
It's true for a lot of guys. And that's our king of the game, too.
It is
Nicholas
indeed.
Abe Kubel. I mean,
the two-goal man.
Talking all about it tonight. We haven't even talked about the guy. He scored two goals tonight. First multi-goal game of his career. I believe he now has 11 points in 20 games for the Avs.
I think that's correct. He had a couple assists before he came here, so it's a little muddled. But all four of his goals...
Yeah,
come in Colorado.
He's been value. He's been really effective.
Yeah.
Like the penalty he got called for, which was like we talked before the game.
Yeah.
There's no mixed bags games for him. He's either all good or all bad. The penalty he got called for was total horseshit.
Almost all of the penalties in this game were like barely penalties.
Made up, man.
Yeah.
Tic-tacky shit is what we call it.
There you go.
It was made up garbage on Abe Kubel right there.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of one where you're just like, thank God that didn't... That's the call that
could have changed the course of the game.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Would have been brutal, for sure.
Yeah, so it was great to see him get a couple of goals, and we talked, like, when your first line is not at the level that you're accustomed to, you need to get it from somewhere, and Abe Kubel twice. You know, the second one obviously is a good break.
You get good breaks when you drive the net and get a shot on goal, right?
And gets the rebound, and you know gets a stick on it, and does what he can, and then hey, he's got lucky there.
Yeah.
Great. But if you're not driving the net, if you're not in that position, if you're not shooting that rebound, if you're trying to get cute with it, if you're not doing all the things that he did, he doesn't get lucky there.
Yep.
It's a great example of how to create it. Yeah, totally got lucky. But there was a process that led up to that. And it's all good. And that's, you know, the Toronto game, I thought he was awesome. I thought he was awesome in that game.
Yep.
And then he followed it up with a two-goal night where you're just like, all right, this is the good that you wanted from him. Not going to blow it up. Not going to say, oh, maybe there's potential for more. And maybe there's blah, 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 blah. As we've seen with Logan O'Connor, those expectations get out of hand in a huge hurry.
Yeah, yeah. No kidding.
But you would say, like, right now, Knack is playing above expectations, right? Like,
well,
you,
this is the guy that
was literally on waivers.
Was on waivers.
Yeah, that's
free.
What I'm saying. So, like,
absolutely, you're gonna.
What were you expecting? Like, what, you know? What was Sakic? What, you know? What was Bednar?
Yeah,
expecting out of this guy. Like, they've.
I mean,
be
if you
pleased.
if they were gonna get. One of their other waiver guys was that worked out was Matt Nieto.
Yeah.
If they could get a similar impact to that, now not the PK guy, not the PK part of that job, obviously, but they get a similar impact, a guy that they felt comfortable dropping into the lineup every night, that's a huge win.
Yep.
It's been better than that. I mean, there have been bad nights. No doubt there have been bad nights. But it's been better than you would have expected for a guy that you picked up off waivers.
Yep.
All right.
I mean, he's a lineup regular for you. And right now, you're not looking at him as the most vulnerable guy in your forward core.
It's Darren Helm and Curtis McDermott.
Exactly. You have two guys there where you're barely playing them now, and you're just like...
Can you really continue
really
to do this?
Yeah. I mean, you look at a deadline, you look at internal, you start to think that this won't continue much longer. They aren't going to continue to play a functional 11 forwards. And now, in tonight's case, I think tonight was probably a little slanted because they were behind and they were trying to grind out a comeback. And
they're
so
not going to play those guys much anyway in that situation. But
but I do think that...
thank you, Colton.
I do think that you've got... You know, you've got two guys there where you start to seriously look and say, we can upgrade on these spots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Avs get the 2 points tonight. Pressure off for the Nashville game now.
I don't know. Sure. I don't think there was ever really any true pressure just because of the situation. Like,
sure.
These are, and we call them scheduled losses. The Avs still, it, like, statistically, it's still like a 40% chance or something. And then the Avs being who they are, you're like, okay. But going against a really good goaltender in UC Saros, this is another chance for Darcy Kuemper. Hey, you're going, you're in a big-time goaltender matchup here. Can you come out? Can you? Can they get a little bit better than they got against Toronto? Not, you know, not that I'm, not that I held that game against him or was upset about it. Just, can you get better than three goals in the first period? Can you get a game out of him? Can you get a lockdown performance that keeps you in it? That you get into a goalie battle. That's what I want to say. I want to see Darcy Kuemper's my story for tomorrow.
I'm here for it. Yeah, you know, we will be live pregame and postgame tomorrow. Any other final thoughts on this one?
Nah. Glad they got 2 points, man. Nah. And you just get 2 points, you just keep climbing up the standings. You beat bad teams, and you just pile up, you know, pile up the bodies.
Well, the 2 points tonight, again, that scheduled loss now, it's like a lot easier, right? It's like, you lose, fine, whatever.
You get an overtime. Point,
wow, cool.
Whatever.
Yeah. You get 2 points, you're ecstatic.
Yeah, I mean, you win tomorrow, and you're feeling on top of the world, because then you have two Arizona games where you're like, we're about to have an 8-point week.
And a few days off before you go into that. So
Maybe it's rest. It's like 4 days off.
Get Arizona. Wow. All right. He just dunked. Hopefully we'll be talking to the PHNX boys pretty soon about it. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. Leah too. Yeah. Totally.
Leah's always welcome to hop on.
We should. I just want a banger watch along where all six of us just party the whole game.
Just shout at each other.
And it ends up being like us partying and then being sad probably. But in any case, we're going to get out of here. Thank you everyone for watching, listening, however you consume the pod. We appreciate all of y'all so very much hanging out with us. We hope to see you tomorrow. Until then, we'll talk to you later.